Very good. Thank you, Mrs. Pollock, for that song, and I hope you listen to the message behind that song. You know, there's only belief and unbelief. It's either belief in Jesus or belief in yourself, and that's unbelief. And that's the reason when a person gets saved, they move from unbelief to belief. That's believing that they have nothing to do with being saved, to believing that Jesus has everything to do with salvation. So don't get those two mixed up and confused. What a great song. And I'm so glad that you're here this morning. Would you take your Bible with me and find your place in Luke chapter number 22? In Luke chapter number 22, if you would please, we're going to begin reading in verse number 31. It'll be familiar to most of you this morning. And that's where I want to take the message from this morning. And I want to preach to you for just a few moments this morning on God's involvement in your life. God's involvement in your life. If you found your place there, Luke 22, would you stand with me together this morning? Luke 22, beginning in verse number 31. Luke 22, beginning in verse number 31. The Scripture says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." That is an incredible verse, but the next verse is even more incredible. "Because here is the Savior of the world, who said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you." Out of all the population of the world, he wants you. Now the incredible thing is right now, can you imagine what Peter is feeling until Jesus makes the next statement? He says, "But you know, even though he desires you, I'm going to get involved in this." And he says, "I'm going to get involved," he says, "but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. Now Peter thought, my goodness, I got the Son of God praying for me. Man, I can conquer the world. And then Jesus says, verse 34, and he saith, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And I want to talk to you this morning, church, visitors, about God's involvement in your life. Would you pray with me this morning? I want to thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in church in a free country. I want to thank you, Lord, that we get to have a Bible, that when we can open the Bible up this morning and the literal truths of eternity spring from its pages into our hearts this morning. And I just pray, Holy Ghost of God, fill this building with your power, with yourself. Would you convict souls about whatever's going on in their life? Convict sinners about salvation? Do thy work. We trust you with it. We'll trust you, Lord, what you're going to do with what the message this morning in our hearts. Teach us something, we pray. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus, for it's in his wonderful name we pray it. Amen. You can be seated. Have you ever thought about just how involved God gets in your life? You know, there are certain groups of people that think God just created this whole thing. And then when he created this whole thing, he just kind of wound it up like a little toy car and then let go, and it's just going on its own without any involvement of its creator. May I say to you this morning, dear friend, that if that's the case, we're in trouble. By the way, if that's the case, then the world would be in absolute chaos today. It would be lawless. It would be in turmoil today if the case was that God just created everything, wound it up, and just let it go. But that's not the case. And thank God he's involved with his creation. And that he's not just sitting back watching everything go on like he's sitting down in front of the TV watching a ball game. No, he's involved this morning. You see, since God created all things, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse number 16, he created all things were created by him and for him. He created everything, which makes him the creator of life. Now you need to listen to this, because this is the foundation of what I want to talk to you about this morning. Since he's the creator of life, then he gets to make the rules we play by. Now many of you may not recognize the name Walter Camp. But Walter Camp was credited with inventing the game of football. And I began to read about Walter Camp, and when he invented the game of football, he also came up with the rules to play the game by. And when people began to play the game of football, they played by his rules, see. Now the problem is, since that day that Walter Camp invented football, men have gotten together with committees and thought they knew more than Walter Camp, see. And so what they did is they began to evolve the rules. They began to change the rules, not for the betterment of the game necessarily, but the betterment of themselves. And see, the problem is, none of us in this room are beyond guilt. We do the exact same thing with God. Now, I'm here to tell you, he made the rules to play by. And by the way, you say, where are the rules? What are the rules? There they are right there. There's the rules that we're going to play the game of life by. These are the rules that God has set down for us to live by. He's got the rules in here of salvation. He's got the rules of how to be in the will of God. He also shows you what it takes to get out of the will of God. They're all in this book this morning. Now, I'm here to tell you, we're no different than most of these people are. We change the playing rules on God. And you know why we change them? We change them to benefit our lifestyle. You see, all of a sudden, we've gotten to a place in our life to where we don't like the rules that have been set. We don't like the guidelines set down in the Scripture, so all of a sudden we're going to change the guidelines because now my life's changed, see? So I got to change the rules to play by so it'll fit my lifestyle. So I change the rules on God to benefit my life or my ideas. You know, I don't have one idea that's better than the Word of God. I don't have one idea better than what the Word of God has. But we have a tendency to change the plan, the rules of the game, because so it'll fit our lifestyle, so it'll fit my ideas, or it'll fit my schedule. Because, by the way, we're all busy people, aren't we? And so if the church don't fit into the schedule, or time with God doesn't fit into the schedule, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to change the rules. I'm going to change everything so they'll fit my schedule, so they'll fit my lifestyle, so they'll benefit me. And that all sounds good and fine, but we got one little problem. Because the Bible says we serve an immutable God, which means He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Guess what? You can change rules all you want, but He's still going to play by the original rules. That's how you're going to be judged by. You're going to be judged by the original rules. You see, the thing about it is we get to heaven one day, I can see it all in my mind's eye at the judgment seat. People are going to be screaming, that's not fair. They're going to be screaming, wait a minute, I didn't understand. I didn't realize. I didn't know. And God says, well, I don't understand. You had the rule book all the time. You knew what we were going by. You understood what we were going by. And here we have to understand that that's how we're going to be judged, according to the rule book. And you have it in your hand this morning. You see, under the sound of my voice in this auditorium this morning, is basically three types of people. The three people are as follows. Number one, there's the lost man. The lost man is the one who has never sincerely put their faith in Jesus Christ. And there are some like that here this morning. There are some people who do not know the Lord. They have never put their faith in Him. They have never trusted Him sincerely with all of their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind. They've not accepted that free gift of eternal life, the Bible way. This is the man that don't know what the rules are. This is the man whose spirit is dead in him. He don't know what the rules are. He has never read them. He's never studied them. And so therefore, he doesn't know what we're playing by. It's a lost man. The Bible says he's blind without God. But then we have a second group here this morning, and that is the man or the woman out of the will of God. That's the man or the woman that is saved. They've been born again. They've accepted the Lord's gift of eternal life. They know they've been born again, but they've drifted from the Lord. They've drifted due to hurt or anger or confusion or flesh or neglect, whatever it may be. They've drifted from God. That's a man or the woman out of the will of God. Now listen very carefully. I want you to understand it. The Bible terms that person a backslider. Now let me define something for those of you that are not familiar with the Scripture to understand. The word backslidden is not synonymous with lost. Let me say that again. The word backslidden is not synonymous with the word lost. The word backslide means to go back. That means what's happened is the person's been born again. They at once maybe have served God, but because of circumstances and situations, confusion, whatever it may be, they have now turned from a relationship with God and have gone back. Maybe back to the days or even worse than they were before they got saved. Now, wait a minute. Now, this is the person that knows the rules. This is the person that knows the rules and chooses not to abide by them or changes them to benefit themselves. And then you have the third group of people here today, and that is the man or woman in the will of God. That's the man or the woman who is saved and loving every minute of it. That's the person is saved and is benefiting from every aspect of salvation in their life. It's all about Jesus to them. It's all about God's will to them. You see, he knows. This is the man that knows the rules and is happy to play by them and is happy to keep them and follow them without any question. This is the man or woman that's kind and loving and obedient and serving and has an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And basically, that's the three groups of people we have here today. We have the ones that don't know the rules. We have the ones that know the rules and don't play by them. Then we have the ones that know the rules of the Scripture and are happy to go by them and are happy to do whatever is necessary to please Almighty God. Now, let me say very quickly, and that's this. In all three of the groups of people here today, God is involved in your life in some capacity. He didn't just create you and breathe into your nostrils and you became a living soul and then wound you up and said, okay, bye-bye. And you just went on into life. But you know, there's a lot of people that believe that God doesn't get involved in people's lives. He just wounds you up and off you go. And I'm here to show you from the Bible, I beg to differ with you. Because He does get involved with our life. Well, I want to examine these three groups of people this morning. The first group I want to examine is God's involvement in the life of a lost man. You say, God don't get involved in a lost man's life. Well, I want to show you something. Take your Bible, if you would, turn to Luke chapter 23. If you're there in Luke 22, just flip forward to Luke 23, verse 39. I want to show you for just a second here, or in just a second, I want to show you where God got involved in a lost man's life only hours before he died. And thank God he got involved. Now, in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 39, everybody find your place there? Let me draw you the scenario. We are now at Golgotha. Jesus has been crucified, and there are now two malefactors on each side, one on his left and one on his right hand. Now begin reading verse 39. And the one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Are you nuts, man? We're about to die. What are you doing? And then he says in verse 41, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, you know what he's about to say? Will you get involved in my life? He says, listen, I don't know anything about the Bible. I don't know anything about church. I don't know anything about anything. But I just know you've not done anything. And everything I've heard about you has all been good. So, Lord, he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now, the scripture don't end there because, listen, he asked for involvement. And let's find out if Jesus got involved. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, glory to God, he got involved. He got involved in a lost man's life. He could have, by the way, did you notice we don't ever hear from the other malefactor again? Because you know what, he had an opportunity for Jesus to get involved in his life as well, but he chose not to. He chose not to have the Lord get involved. You see, God's involvement in a lost man's life. Well, first of all, you got to understand what a lost man is. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3, and this is real deep, so hang on. The Bible says he's lost. He can't find his way. He doesn't know what direction he's going. He doesn't even know where salvation is to find it. That's the reason we go knock doors, amen? That's the reason we pass gospel tracts out. That's the reason we witness on the job. That's the reason we do what we do. Why? Because we're trying to find the lost ones. We're trying to find those that are lost, can't find their way. You see, God says about the lost man, he just lost. He's blind. He can't find his way. But he also says something interesting in John chapter 8 and verse number 42. The Bible says he is of his father, the devil. That means you know whose voice he's listening to? He's not listening to that still, small voice. He's listening to another voice that's leading him into the area and doing the things that he's doing. He's lost. The Bible says he's of his father, the devil. John chapter 3, verse number 18 says he's condemned by sin. Now, folks, listen, that's an ugly word, condemned. Man, I'm telling you, when the gavel comes down, the judge says, guilty, condemned, life. That's an ugly word because they don't want to hear the word condemned. But the Bible says that a lost man is condemned already. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 12 said that a lost man is without hope and without God in this world. Now, folks, I've said it from this pulpit 100 times. You and I have no idea what it ever is to experience a time in your life where there has been no hope. There's always been hope. But there will come a day for the lost man who dies without Jesus Christ and goes into eternity, there will be no hope for them. It's an eternity without God. The lost man is without hope when he doesn't have Jesus. Ephesians 2 and verse number 1 says a lost man is dead in trespasses and sin. His spirit's dead. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to do the funeral for Mrs. Billy Elkins, one of the senior saints in our church. You know, prior to the funeral, I walked down to the casket and I looked at the shell of her body. And can I say something to you? You know, Miss Billy never said a word to me. She never moved. She never made a comment to me. You know why? Because she was dead. That was a shell there. And that little shell of that little frail 84-year-old body had given up the ghost, had given up that soul and spirit, and her soul and spirit had gone to be with the Lord. And the Bible compares a lost man to a dead man and says, you know what? They have absolutely no response to spiritual matters whatsoever. So if God doesn't get involved, you're hopeless. Hopeless. But thank God he does get involved. He said, well, if I don't know the Lord, I can't see God's involvement in my life. Well, let me tell you something. You know Paul, when he preached his sermon on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17, verse number 28, made an interesting statement. He said this to those heathens. He said, in him we live and move and have our being. You say, if for nothing else, listen to me, dear friend, this morning, without God, if for nothing else, God's involved by letting you live. He's letting you live this morning. He's letting you breathe. He's giving you health so that you can provide for your family. Let me tell you what else he's involved in a lost man's life according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. He's long-suffering. You know what that means? He means he's putting up with us. He's long-suffering. You see, because the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know his involvement in your life, dear lost man, this morning? He's long-suffering. He's waiting. He's putting up with you over and over and over and over again. But may I say to you, Luke chapter 19, verse number 10, not only is he involved in long-suffering, the Bible said he's seeking. The Son of Man came into this world to seek, and to save that which was lost. Listen, he's looking for you. He wants you to be saved. He wants to have a greater involvement in your life. And he'll hear your cry of salvation. The reason I know that, because here's a man that was actually just a few hours from death, and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord says, you know what? I believe because he wants me to get involved in his life, I'm going to get involved. And that day, he says, today, I'm going to get involved in your life. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. You see, he got involved in that lost man's life. But I must say this, dear lost man or lost woman this morning. This, if you fall into this group, this is the group this morning that God is least involved with. This is the group he's least involved with this morning. And those are those who are without Christ. But you know what he wants to do? He wants to get more involved. Yeah, you know where it's going to start? It's going to start by crying out and say, Lord, I need to be saved. Lord, I put my faith and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ. I confess I'm a sinner. I realize I deserve to go to hell, but I'm going to put my faith and trust in Jesus. And let me tell you something. You do that this morning, he'll get involved in your life just like he got involved in that thief on the cross life. But this group of people, God's least involved with. But then we have the second group. Take your Bible, if you would, go to John 21. Remember we opened up by reading about a man by the name of Peter? I want to talk to you now about God's involvement with a man or a woman out of the will of God. As I mentioned earlier, the Bible refers to this person as a backslider. And by the way, the Bible defines what a backslider is. The Bible says the backslider is filled with his own ways. He's a rule changer. That's what he is. You see, the lost man don't even know what the rules are. He don't even know what to go by. You see, the backslider is somebody that's been saved. They've tasted of that sweetness of salvation. and may have served God for a while, and through some circumstance in their life, traumatic circumstance, got them derailed, and all of a sudden now they've gone back. Well, does God get involved in their life? Well, let me give you the same guy, Peter. Remember, Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you. He said, but wait a minute, but I prayed for you. Man, that was God's involvement. But Peter wasn't right and wasn't going to be right for a while, because just two verses later, the Lord says, listen, I already know you're going to backslide. I already know that you're going to go back, because before it all ends, you're going to deny thrice that you've even known me. Did that happen or not? Yes, it did. It most certainly did. So did God just say, okay, that's it, Peter. You're done as far as Christianity is concerned. You're done as far as service is done. You're done as far as serving me or my blessings on your life. You are through. You know, if we didn't have John 21, I might have believed that. But then we come to John chapter 21 and we find Peter still backslidden. And you know what he says? He says, you know what? It's all done. God's not getting involved anymore. He said, I go a fishing. And when he said that, there were some of the other disciples said, we'll go with you. See, when you decide to go back, you're not going to go back alone. You will always go back with somebody. Somebody will always go back with you. So Peter goes a fishing. And in chapter 21 and verse number 3 of John chapter 21, verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went and entered into a ship, and immediately that night they caught what? You know what? You ain't going to catch nothing when you're away from God. Yeah. Sad situation. By the way, they weren't going to catch anything until Jesus got involved. And then when he got involved, then they caught something. But when you're away from God, you're not going to catch nothing. And he says, they fished on it and caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Now you listen to me, and you listen to me very carefully. This was a man that had walked with God, walked with Christ, got away from him, backslid, and Jesus, even though he denied him three times, he didn't throw his life away. Thank God. He didn't throw his life away. You know what he does? Even while Peter's backslidden, even while he's backslidden, you know what he does? He shows up in his life again. He gets involved again with a backslider. And I'm here to tell you today, if you're away from God, I'm here to tell you, it ain't over yet. It ain't over. He wants to get involved again with your life. You see, on that seashore, Jesus called out, have you any meat? You know what he was saying? Anybody out there interested in me getting involved? Boy, I'll tell you one thing. Their eyes opened up. They said, oh my goodness, it's the Lord. It's the Lord! Now Peter was really, really backslidden. You know why? Because he was out there fishing naked. Read it. And when he realized it was Jesus, you know what he did? He put his clothes on. Dove in, swam to shore. Boy, we're talking about backsliding, brother. We're talking about walking from Jesus to fishing naked now. And think about it. Boy, I wouldn't go that far. Oh, is that right? We're talking about somebody that walked with him for 3 years. We're talking about somebody, listen, that wasn't led to Christ by some guy walking down the street. He met Jesus personally and yet got away from him. But how do I know he got involved? Well, look down in verse number 12. You know what he tells them to do? Jesus saith unto them, here it is now, come and dine. Come and dine. You know what he's saying? He said, listen, I know you got away from me, but I still love you. Come and dine. Come be a part again. You see, God, in a backslider's life, shows His love over and over and over again. So God desires to show His love once again to you. He's still willing to get involved. But let me tell you what else He's willing to do. He desires to restore you. Boy, I tell you one thing. You know somebody was just that was backslidden out of the will of God? David was backslidden out of the will of God, man. Had an affair. I mean, man, he was messed up. He messed up big time. He was broken over it. Let me tell you something. You know what? God didn't say, you know what? You're done. I'm done with you. I'm tired of your nonsense. No, no, no. Because I go read Psalm 51, he showed up again. He got involved in David's life again and again and again and again. Over and over and over, he pursued him. And in Psalm 51, verse number 12, he called out to God and said, "Restore the joy of thy salvation." You see, God's interested in restoration. And did he restore David? Yes, he did. Did he restore Peter? Yes, he did. Because then I flip over to Acts chapter 2 and this same guy. The same guy that was fishing naked now is now got his suit on preaching. And he preached and 3,000 got saved and baptized. And he said, you know what? I'm going to add an extra point to that message and I'm going to preach it again. And he preached again and 5,000 got saved. Two sermons, 8,000 saved. You know what he was at one time? He's a backslider. Just like some of us. But you know the only difference between us and Peter is when the master said, come and dine, he did. He said, you know what? I'm going to come and dine. And he dove in and met the Lord. And then we know what happened. Lovest thou me more than these? And that's where Peter fell back in love with the Lord. You see, he shows his love. He's for restoration. But let me say something to you. As a last resort, and I want you to listen very carefully. I want you to look right up here at me. As a last resort, after he administers compassion, after he administers love, after he does everything to woo you back to a relationship, if you decide not to, then we have to go and find in Hebrews chapter 12 that he has to chastise. Say, how does he chastise? Different ways for different folks. Whatever it takes to get you back into a relationship. For some, it could be help. For some, it could be finances or a job or just heartaches in life. But he's all for a relationship. You see, he wants to get involved. And then let me give you the third group and I'm done. And that's God's involvement with a man or woman that's in God's will. We're not going to turn there, but I could turn to a number of passages of Scripture. To give you an example of a man by the name of Paul. You know, Paul was a lost man one day until Jesus got involved. And then when Jesus got involved, he thought, you know what? I think I'm going to let him get a little more involved. And then as he called him out, took him on the backside of the desert and taught him for years, he said, you know what? I think I'm going to let him get a little more involved. And then as he began to preach and people to begin to get saved, he said, you know what? I think I'm going on a missionary journey. I think I'm going to let him get a little more involved. And I'm here to tell you that God is involved not only with the lost man this morning, not only with the backslider this morning, he's involved with the righteous man this morning as well. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's involved with fulfilling a personal relationship in your life. He's doing everything. Listen, that sweetness, that wonderful time that you have alone with God in your prayer closet, and he speaks to you and you speak to him, that fellowship there is over, happens over and over and over again. And let me tell you how God gets involved in a righteous man's life. Paul put it greatly in Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You know what? That's the man in the will of God right there. He said, to them that love God, to them who are called according to not your purpose, his purpose. He said, boy, you get involved in that right there. He said, there's blessings, there's favor. But you know how I know God is in favor of the righteous man, in favor of the man in the will of God? Because in John chapter 15, verse number 7, he said, you abide in me, and I abide in you. Ask what you will. Ask what you will. Ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You say, well, it don't happen. You know why? Because most of us don't fulfill the commandment. Most of us don't fulfill the criteria because he said you ask what you will. See, most of us don't understand what abiding means. Abiding, staying in close fellowship. Listen, God's involvement of the righteous man is fulfilling that wonderful personal relationship. Favor in prayer. Personal growth and victories. Listen, the Holy Spirit promised that he would, in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, that he would teach and guide. I don't know about you, but I need to be taught, and I certainly need a guide through this life. And you know who I'm going to depend on? I'm going to depend on that still, small voice, the Holy Ghost of God. You know why? Because he wants to get involved. He wants to get involved. But you know how else he gets involved in a righteous man's life? Protection from the full wrath of God, or from the full wrath of Satan. We don't have time to go look, but you go read about the story and the life of Job. You know what? God could have taken his hand off of that situation and Satan would have killed him. But he didn't. You see, because God got involved in his life. And you know what? You couldn't have listened. There wasn't a man known in the entire world, the Bible says, more perfect than he was. And yet God said, you know what? I'm going to get involved in his life. That's the reason. Matter of fact, did you ever notice in that story that Satan didn't even pay attention to him? It was God that called attention to Job. Have you considered my servant Job? You know why? Because he's a perfect man. He's a righteous man. He was a man in the will of God. God got involved in his life. He delivers us from evil intent. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, evil intent was meant toward them. But God loosed them. Daniel, evil intent was meant toward him. But you know what? When the morning came, Daniel, servant of the Most High God, has thy God delivered thee from the mouth of the lions? He has. Pull me up. And I like this because you know what? Darius had the right attitude about this. He said, you know what? We found out who the righteous man is, and now we know who the unrighteous people are. And you know what? Get ready, lions, mamas, and babies. Here's come some real meat. And they not only threw the men in there, they threw their entire families in there. You know what? He gets involved in a righteous man's life, and he's always working all things together for good. You see, God is a God of involvement, but here's the conclusion. Listen very carefully. But not a God of force. He wants to be involved, but he is limited to how much he can get involved. And you know what limits him? He is limited by human choice. So basically, my appeal to you this morning is how much you want to get God involved. How much do you want God involved in your life? If you're lost today, he's willing to get involved and save you. He saved that old boy just hours before he died. And boy, he's rotten. And yet he turned and said, Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord said, you know what? I'm going to get involved in your life. Saved him. Right there as he hung within hours of death. Maybe you're here and maybe you're like the prodigal son or like a Peter or a David and you just kind of gone back. You just kind of gotten away from God. He wants to get involved in you. He hasn't thrown your life away. No, he's done everything. If you'll go back and look real close, you'll find all of the earmarks everywhere he's tried to draw you back. Yeah, he's tried to get you back. And then if you're here this morning and you say, Brother Todd, I'm as right with God as I've ever been in my entire life, can I say something to you? He still wants to be involved in your life also. He wants to continue that relationship. He wants to do the things that got you to that place. You see, he's chosen to limit his involvement based on our free will choice. My question this morning is, what's your choice? Do you want him to get involved? He's willing to. How do you want God to be involved in your life? Now, it's your choice. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder how many would this morning would say, Preacher, I know beyond a shadow.